Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. I know it's Christmas Eve, but I'll sneak it in there. Hopefully you know that it's Christmas tomorrow and you've done all your shopping. If you haven't, you can sneak out. Not now, just after my talk. I'm going to pray before we get into God's Word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet here this Christmas Eve morning. We pray, Lord, as we hear from your Word, that we would hear you speaking to us, we'd hear how you've acted in history, we'd hear how much you love us, and that this is what makes Christmas, this message. So help us really listen. Help us really take heed of what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm sure between us, we have celebrated a lot of Christmases. I'm sure there's a lot of memories floating around, a lot of experiences, both really good, maybe quite bad, and everything in between. So I've got an in-between memory to share with you this morning. A few years ago, we were heading down to Campbelltown. Hands up who've been to Campbelltown. Come on. Give a cheer for Campbelltown. I was visiting my auntie for Christmas. So we're all congregating at her place for lunch. And not long after I arrived, we got a call from my mum, and she'd been in a car accident, and it wasn't too bad. She just hit someone in the back. She was a bit shaken, but when we arrived, when she arrived at my auntie's place, no one seemed to be concerned about my mum, and that's because the cheesecake that she had baked, and that she had baked for many years for Christmas lunch, had just hit the dash and just is gone everywhere. My mum seemed to just be ignored, and everyone was just tears for this baked cheesecake. That's one we often like bring up at Christmas. I'm sure you have stories maybe similar to that. As a young kid, I remember we had Christmas at our place, and we'd often swim in the pool on like those hot Christmas nights. I remember mountains of seafood and pasta at my nunna's place, not even knowing that people had turkey and ham for Christmas. I also remember Christmas in Prague with Briny in the middle of winter, and for the first and only time seeing like real snowflakes that actually have like a pattern. I didn't even know that was a thing. But I also remember Christmases where I didn't have to split lunch or dinner between my mum's side of the family and my dad's side of the family. I remember when we were all together. I remember Christmases free of family tension. And maybe it was because I was too young to notice that there was any. I wonder for you, what does Christmas time bring to mind? I'm sure there's a bunch of lovely memories out there. Maybe some weird and wacky family traditions that you guys have. But I know that Christmas can be really tough as well. Maybe you remember a loved one who won't be at Christmas this year. Is Christmas that time of the year for a whole day that you have to put on a happy face and pretend like everything is okay? Does it remind you of just how broken your family is? Does it remind you of your financial situation? Is Christmas one of the loneliest times of the year for you? If this is a difficult time for you, I would love to speak to you after the service, and I'd love to pray with you as well. And so maybe as you listen to this Christmas event read, maybe the first time, maybe the 400th time, an angel coming to teenage Mary, telling her that she's going to have a son, that she's found great favor with God. And in verse 37, literally my version reads that no word of God will ever fail. And maybe as you read that, as you heard it read, you feel a little bit let down by God. Maybe unlike Mary, you feel far from God and his favor and his blessing. Maybe you think, Now, if God is real, well, he hasn't shown himself to me. And maybe you're okay with that. Maybe that makes sense. You might think, well, you know, I'm not the kind of person that he would want to associate himself with. I get it. How do we know if God is looking with favor on us? On you and me? Do we need an angel to appear to us? You know, if everything is good in our life, if it's full of blessing and cheer, does that mean God's favor is on us? And if not, if life is tough and messy and broken, does that mean God is far from us? Maybe God is a little bit like Santa, and it boils down to whether we've been naughty or nice, how we've treated him. Well, I want to take us back to our first reading, and specifically verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that was read for us. And it says, God has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I love this verse. I love the whole book of Ecclesiastes, but this verse, it's saying that even though we cannot fathom eternity, an eternal God with an eternal plan, deep down our hearts, we yearn. We yearn for eternity. I think some of us, we get this feeling at Christmas time. You know, eating and laughing together, giving and receiving gifts, holidays, relaxing by the beach, seeing relatives from overseas or interstate that we don't get to see that often. Don't we wish it wasn't so fleeting, that we didn't have to cram everything in to one meal, to a few days? Now, don't we mourn for those who are no longer there, celebrating at this time? Don't we wish we could have one more conversation with our grandparents, our cousins, our nephews, our friends? We want more of this good stuff. Our hearts yearn for eternity. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Nah, no way. Nah. A few days with family and friends is as much as I can take. I can't eat or cook like that every day of the year. And the fact that Christmas is a fleeting moment, that's what makes it special, right? You can't do that every day. Well, I don't buy it. I know we live in a broken world with tricky relationships. We get tired. We get cranky. It's not perfect. I mean, just forget about Christmas for a moment if that's tough for you. But when life is good, we want it to last. I would have loved to watch just one more football match with my nuno. I know my nunas are saddened by the reality that my two sons, their great-grandsons, probably won't remember them. That's hard. We all yearn for the eternal. We want more. The book of Ecclesiastes, which we'll be diving into over the summer, so keep coming along to church, it talks about life being like smoke. You can see smoke. It's right there before us. But if you try and grab onto it, it slips through your fingers. And there are things in our life. There are memories. There are people that we want to hold on to. But this life is like smoke. It slips through our fingers. We yearn for eternity. And what I want you to all see clearly this Christmas is God's answer to that yearning. At Christmas, we see the eternal break in to the fleeting. The baby promised to Mary, he's no ordinary baby. Yeah, sure. Verse 31, he is a son. He is a real human baby. But verse 32, he will be called Son of the Most High. Verse 33, he will reign forever Verse 35, he is the Son of God, the eternal God. God's favor, God's blessing for Mary, it isn't a cushy life. It's not free of trouble. He isn't promising that she won't be shamed and ridiculed and looked down upon for being a teenager who's pregnant outside of marriage. He isn't promising that raising a baby as a teenage girl is going to be smooth sailing. I mean, it wouldn't have been sinful for Jesus to vomit and poo and wake up screaming in the middle of the night. That's what babies do. God's not promising that. He's actually promising so much more. He's giving her so much more. He's giving her himself in Jesus and for all eternity. God's favor and blessing to you and me, it's not a cushy, cruisy life, free of troubles, disappointments, or hardships. It's God with us in this life, through all of it. The highest highs, the lowest lows. And I want to say, particularly to anyone out there who think, no, it's not for me. God's not for me. God is for you. God's favor is for you. There's nothing you've done or failed to do that puts you outside of his love for you. Think about what God is trying to tell us through Mary. The fact that God chooses to associate himself, the sending of his son, the fulfillment of everything written in the Old Testament, the height of his plan with a poor, unmarried, pregnant teenager. In those days, a complete disgrace to her community, family, her fiancé. That says a lot about our God. It also says a lot about how wrong we get it. How wrong we get ourselves and how wrong we get each other. You know, we may look around at others and as we compare ourselves with others, which we do all the time, we might feel good, depending on who it is, or we might feel inferior or bad, depending on who it is. You know, I wish I was just more like them. I wish I was in their situation. Or, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm not in their situation. I bet many were looking at Mary's situation and thinking, glad that's not me. I bet even Mary herself at times was freaking out. God's favor comes to Mary not because she is special or more deserving, but it's to shatter our expectations of who God shows his love and grace and mercy to. Out of the womb, Jesus kept doing this. He kept shattering our expectations as we saw him cross racial, social, economic, and religious lines, offering them eternity with God. And his salvation is reaching all corners of the globe, even today. Many people are turning to Christ in the most unexpected places. Islamic communities in North Africa. Prisons in North Korea. Everywhere. You might not get everything or anything you want this Christmas. Or everything or anything you want in this life. And that can be so tough. That can be really hard. But God hasn't let you down. His word, his promises to you have not failed. Because he offers those you love, your family, your friends, the little ones that you know, his greatest treasure, Jesus. Complete forgiveness and eternity with him. I mean, how much must God love you and me that he sends his precious son, I'd never do anything like that, to suffer on the cross the punishment of all sin and evil throughout history. This baby was sent for you to bring you back to God. to give you eternal life, to bring eternity into the fleeting. Some people say that the fleeting nature of our lives, of our loves, of our relationships, that's what makes it special, that it doesn't last. That's rubbish. The fleeting nature ruins it. It spoils it. We yearn for eternity. So like Mary, I want to ask you this morning to surrender to God. Sure, it's scary. I bet Mary was freaking out herself. But facing this life and the next without Jesus, that's much more terrifying. Let him into your life. Let him take the reins. And trust your life and your death to Jesus, who died and rose again. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us so much good in this life. But we're much more thankful for what you give us in Jesus. Eternity with you. That you'd enter into our world. The promise of walking with us through life's ups and downs. I pray that we would cling to you. I pray that this message that we love, we would share with people today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. That we would know we have something so special to offer this world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.